Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Microsoft Operations Manager 2005, Performance and Sizing. My name is Adam Field. We'll look at how the configuration of key components in the MOM architecture affect the performance of the monitoring environment as a whole. We'll look at what the support limits are for MOM configurations and understand where they're derived from. Finally, we'll look at some common MOM problems that affect performance together with the solutions. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all the new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. An understanding of MOM 2005 architecture would be useful, as would experience of MOM 2005 deployment and administration. Let's look at the agenda for this session. First, we'll look at the performance and scalability goals that the MOM product team had at the beginning of the product cycle. Then, we'll look at how the performance of MOM was tested. Here, we'll look at the test topologies and the three key elements of a MOM 2005 implementation: the management server, the database server, and the MOM agents. Finally, we'll look at two examples of how Microsoft customers actually deployed MOM 2005 in their production environments. We'll examine the challenges they faced and how they dealt with them. Let's begin with our first topic. Performance and scalability is critical in a monitoring system. Receiving a phone call at 2 a.m. to say that a business-critical server or application has failed is never a good thing. It would be much better to receive an alert in advance when we still have some time to fix the issue before the server or service becomes unavailable. What is an alert? An alert is a notification that describes an abnormal or unexpected condition on a managed server. When a problem occurs on a managed server, the MOM agent creates these alerts and sends them to the MOM management server. The alert is then processed and sent to the MOM database. It's then available on the MOM operator's console. The alert latency is defined as the time between the alert creation and the alert insertion in the database. Alert latency is a critical factor in determining the value of a monitoring system, as it could be the difference between fixing the problem with zero impact or receiving that 2 a.m. phone call. The goal with the design of MOM 2005 was to have 90% of alerts delivered in less than 2 minutes. This kind of performance was expected to be delivered across the scale for MOM implementations, which, as you can see, have been set quite high. It's easy to set such design goals on paper when creating a product, but what about actual performance? When testing MOM 2005 during initial development, several test topologies were used. As I said previously, these test topologies focused on the three key components of a MOM implementation: management server, database server, and MOM agent. A number of metrics were measured as part of the product performance testing. We'll cover the most relevant ones in this session. We'll look at the hardware configuration, looking at what was used and why. We'll look at how agent workload was simulated together with the kind of workload that was used and why. Then, we'll look at the three key components: management server, database server, and agent. Three different topologies were used in product testing. The first one is the most simple and has one database server, one management server, and 3,000 agents reporting to it. You may remember from an earlier slide that the scalability goal was to support up to 2,000 agents per management server. The test topology was configured with 3,000 agents to provide a margin of error and ensure that MOM 2005 was completely solid and reliable. This topology was chosen to discover the maximum possible load for a single management server. Let's take a look at the second topology. The second topology was derived from the first and then adding a second management server with 400 agents reporting to it. This second management server was configured according to customer feedback with a medium number of agents. Our final topology added 8 more management servers, each with 200 agents reporting to them. This configuration was intended to test the performance of MOM when scaled to the maximum number of management servers in a management group. It also provided additional data on a medium-low agent load on the management server. Again, you may remember that the scalability goal was 4,000 agents per management group, which is also the product support threshold, but 5,000 was tested to ensure that the scalability goal could be comfortably achieved. What hardware was used in the test environment? The database servers were configured with 4 processors, each running at 2 GHz with 2 GB of RAM. Data and log files were stored on separate RAID 0 drive arrays, and the database was 22.4 GB in size. The management servers were specified with 2 processors, each running at 2.4 GHz with 1 GB of RAM. A single physical disk was used in each server. Agent servers were specified with a single processor running at 1.8 GHz with 1 GB of RAM. All computers were running on a Base 100 Ethernet network. The hardware specs were chosen after consultation between the MOM product group and existing MOM customers, and these were deemed to be in the mid-range of what enterprise customers were using for their MOM 2000 implementations. Today, these specs would be at the low end of a MOM 2005 implementation. This means that the performance test results you see in this session will be even better in your own environment for obvious reasons. It's also worth highlighting that the equipment detailed here is what was used in the product test lab. It isn't necessarily the recommended configuration for your own MOM implementations, and was designed primarily to determine performance. Factors such as management server and database redundancy and equipment cost were not considered. The MOM Sizer tool, which I will demonstrate a little later, can help you determine system configurations for your MOM implementation. How was the agent workload simulated? Following consultation with customers, the figures you see here were determined to be fairly excessive based on MOM 2000 SP1 environments. In the test environment, 3 different kind of alerts were used, shown in the top 3 rows of the table. This was to make use of all the different code paths used by MOM in alert processing. Another point worth noting from this workload data is that over 90% of the data generated by MOM is performance counters, and this is reflected in the workload. Alerts, events, performance data, state alerts, and discovery data simulations were started on each agent. Let's focus on the first key element of MOM, the management server. As I mentioned before, alert latency is an important factor. On average, with 3,000 agents, an alert latency averaging 60 seconds was observed. The typical latency was just a few seconds, as you can see from the chart. You can also see a large spike in the middle of the chart showing huge alert latency. This was caused by the deployment of a large number of management packs to all of the managed agents simultaneously. When you deploy a management pack to a client, the client reports back discovery data related to the rules in the management pack. The simultaneous management pack deployment led to a simultaneous return of discovery data, placing a heavy load on the database server and resulting in queuing of alerts which produced the alert latency that you see here. The recommendation here is never to deploy management packs to all of your managed agents simultaneously. If you have a lot of agents and you need to install a lot of management packs, stage it by deploying a subset of management packs to a subset of agents. While this kind of peak is the exception rather than the rule, it can and does happen in real-world scenarios, and was included in testing for that reason. The peaks are known as high-traffic scenarios, and the flatlines are known as normal monitoring scenarios. The first metric that was considered for management server performance was CPU utilization. Data was collected for 200 agents, 400 agents, and 3,000 agents. As you can see, this data was collected in both normal monitoring and high traffic scenarios. In the worst case, managing 3,000 agents in a high traffic scenario, the CPU usage on the management server was around 40%, so the CPUs were never used excessively. What about memory usage? The second metric considered for the management server was memory usage. Again, measurements were taken using 200, 400, and 3,000 agents. In the worst case, the memory footprint or working set of the MOM service running on the management server was 320 megabytes. Let's return to the agenda. Next, we'll focus on database server performance. Specifically, we'll look at CPU usage and I/O performance. We won't be considering memory usage because SQL Server will make use of all available memory. However, you should give thoughtful consideration to the amount of RAM on your database server, and we'll cover this later in the session. So let's look at CPU usage. The data on the left was taken in the first topology, when we had 3,000 agents assigned to our management server. The data on the right is taken using the high-scale topology with 5,000 agents in our management group. In a normal monitoring situation, CPU usage averaged 20%. Even in the most intensive scenario, the CPU configuration was more than able to cope. Let's look at the database server CPU usage in a little more detail. The table on this slide shows CPU utilization under normal monitoring conditions, when running a DTS job, which is when SQL Server transfers data from the operational database to the MOM reporting server, and re-indexing the database. You can see that the re-indexing job is very CPU intensive. Now let's consider disk performance. To measure the performance of the disk, a Windows performance counter, percentage of disk idle, was used. So the higher the bar on the chart, the lower the load on the disk. You can see that at the beginning of the day, the database server disk has virtually no load at all, with the load gradually increasing throughout the day. In the test scenarios, a DTS job was scheduled for midnight every day to copy data from the operational database partition to the MOM reporting server partition. So let's look at this disk usage in a little more detail. The first column is from the high traffic scenario, the second is the DTS job, and the third is a re-index job, which you can see is very I/O intensive. The recommendation coming from these results is that database re-indexing jobs have a huge impact on database performance with high CPU and high disk usage. The re-index job was scheduled once a week during the night so as not to interfere with daily monitoring operations, and you should make similar considerations in your own MOM environment. Let's look at the DTS transfer job in a little more detail. As I said previously, this DTS transfer job is when data is transferred from the operational SQL database to the MOM reporting database. In the test lab, this job was scheduled every day around midnight so as not to interfere with daily monitoring operations. However, how can you be sure that the DTS job completes and doesn't last until, perhaps, late in the morning? The amount of data in the DTS job was chosen to simulate a large enterprise customer. You can see that it transferred 3 million events per day, 60,000 new alerts, and 40 million items of sampled numeric data. This is a huge amount, even for a large enterprise customer, but these amounts were selected to make the test as demanding as possible while remaining realistic. The DTS job completed in 3 hours and 30 minutes, so you can be fairly sure that your DTS job will not impede normal monitoring functions if scheduled correctly. Let's return to the agenda. The final component in MOM architecture is the agent. Why is agent performance important? Agents are installed on servers that typically have a business role in an organization. For example, your domain controller, your web server, your database server, or your mail server. You want the maximum number of available resources on these servers to go to the business role and not to be taken up by the MOM agent. Let's take a look at the data samples for agent performance. The first metric considered was CPU usage. At idle, no CPU is used. Simulations of 200, 500, and 1000 events per second were set. 1000 events is a very high number and would possibly indicate a serious problem. Typically, most customers see just a few events per second. You can see that the CPU usage, even with 1000 events per second, stays below 6%. So you can be fairly sure that MOM agent CPU usage is not impacting the server in any significant way. What about memory usage? In the same situation as before, measurements were taken at idle, 200 events per second, 500 events per second, and 1000 events per second. As you can see, the working set size of the MOM agent has very little variance, even under heavy load. Let's summarize the performance test results. The test results showed that MOM 2005 delivers over 90% of the alerts in less than 2 minutes. These results were demonstrated at the high end of the scale with 2,000 agents per management server, 4,000 agents per management group, and 10 management servers per management group. Testing also verified that up to 15 operator consoles can be supported at the same time against a single MOM database server. Another interesting result was that SQL tasks such as DTS jobs or re-indexing don't have a significant effect in alert latency. We've seen that they can use resources like disk and CPU, but alert latency doesn't change much. Failover and failback, when a management server fails and agents have to fail over to a secondary management server, also appears to have no detrimental effect on alert latency. However, if you remember the huge peak on our first chart, deploying a large number of management packs to a large number of agents simultaneously will have a massive impact on alert latency and should be avoided. The data gathered from these performance tests was used to set the support thresholds for MOM 2005. Let's look at those now. When planning capacity for your own environment, it's very important to keep these figures in mind, as you need to ensure that your implementation remains within these boundaries. Microsoft supports 2,000 managed computers per management server, 4,000 managed computers per management group, with 10 management servers per management group. 15 active console connections are supported per management group. The maximum supported size for the MOM operational database is 30 gigabytes, and the supported size for the MOM reporting database is 1 terabyte. Let's look at our first demonstration. The information required by the sizer tool is how many agents, or managed computers you plan to deploy and how long you need to retain the data in the operational database. Given these two numbers, the sizer will make an estimation on how much data will be produced. You can see that it estimates the number of events, alerts, and performance counters per second. On the right side, the sizer tool provides hardware recommendations for management server and database server hardware. You can see that based on the need for 100 managed computers with a data retention time of 4 days, the sizer tool suggests that your management server and database server can be on the same computer. You can see that the sizer also makes specific recommendations on disk array configuration. It also provides information about the network utilization from management server to database server. Let's see what happens when we increase the number of agents to 4,000. You can see that the amount of data that would be produced in the database is vastly increased. For this kind of implementation, the sizer tool is recommending that the management server and database server be on two separate computers. You'll notice that the specification of these machines is also far greater than that required for 100 agents. It's important to point out that these numbers assume a minimum number of management packs. As more management packs are added, more data is produced. Another important consideration is that these data estimates are just that, estimates. Monitoring traffic can vary in different organizations, depending on factors like the number of domain controllers or the number of exchange servers, for example. All things considered, the MOM 2005 sizer tool will give you a good starting point when planning your MOM deployment. The information set used by the sizer tool to make the recommendations comes from both the tests detailed earlier in this session and from results obtained from consultation with early adopter customers. 34 customers installed MOM 2005 in their production environment, beginning with an early beta version of the product, taking it all the way through to the release version. These customers were of all sizes, from small businesses up to large enterprises, and from different types of businesses like banks, public sector and manufacturing. Their feedback was very important and provides a real-world element to the guidance offered by the sizing tool. This spreadsheet also includes a MOM 2005 reporting sizer, which enables you to perform similar sizing tasks for your reporting server. The only data that you are required to input on this sheet is how long you wish to retain data on your reporting server. The default value is 396 days, and you can see that it has taken the agent data from the previous sheet. Again, projected data figures are provided along with recommended hardware specifications. There is no consideration of network bandwidth in this sheet, as the data can be transferred out of business hours or at times when appropriate bandwidth is available. If we return the agent value to 100, as with our original example, you can see once again the differences that a reduced number of agents makes to the amount of data generated, as well as requiring a much lower hardware specification and disk configuration. This concludes the demonstration of the MOM 2005 sizer tool. Now let's return to the agenda. Let's now look at some deployment examples. For each example, I'll show you what their MOM deployment looks like before looking at the problems they faced and finishing with the solution. These examples are based on deployment examples of real customers. The first example is an enterprise customer, which is one of the most typical MOM deployments. At the top, you can see the database server and the database reporting server. We have three management servers, each with their own group of managed servers. The dotted lines between the management servers indicates that a failover configuration is in place so that when one of the management servers goes down, agents are able to report to a secondary server. You can also see the console that allows administrators to see the alerts. What was the customer issue? This customer contacted Microsoft support after finding that when deploying new rules in his environment, he was noticing alert latency increasing towards the end of the day. To locate the problem, Product Support Services, or PSS, checked the MON performance counters for the server queue. MON 2005 exposes some performance counters that help you understand what's going on in your MON infrastructure. The server queue counter shows you the length of the queue of data on the management server. The expected behavior is for this queue length to increase when agents send a lot of data, and when the management server catches up, the queue length should go down. In this case, the performance counter results produced a smooth ripple, as was expected. The second thing that was checked was the disk activity on the database server. To do this, the same Windows disk percentage idle time counter was used as was used in the test lab to profile the disk load. This was the result. The vertical red line on the right-hand side is at midnight. On the left, at the beginning of the day, you can see that the disk is doing fine. As we progress through the day, the disk is getting busier and busier until 8 p.m. when disk activity reaches 100% several times. What was the solution? The problem was that as the MON database got bigger and bigger, it couldn't fit in the RAM on the database server, so it was swapping out to disk a lot, producing the I.O. activity that we just saw. Also, the index became more and more fragmented, which impacted the disk activity even further. The solution was to add more RAM to the database server and to make sure that the additional memory was made available to SQL Server. This improved the situation considerably. As I mentioned previously, we didn't include memory profiling for SQL, but specifying an appropriate amount of memory for your database server is important. So let's look at the second scenario. This example is applicable to enterprise customers as well as smaller customers with sites connected by low bandwidth links. Enterprise customers may have remote sites connected by slow links. Small customers may have 5 or 10 servers spread across the country in locations where a high-speed connection is either unavailable or not cost-effective. The request from this customer was, "I have narrow bandwidth and I'd really like to use that bandwidth for my business. How can I control how much of that bandwidth is used for monitoring? How can I tune the entire mechanism to ensure that enough bandwidth is available for my business while still ensuring I have effective monitoring in place?" What was the solution? The problem was that by default, network activity in MON expects high bandwidth connections. You can begin by tuning the heartbeat interval of your managed computers. The more frequent the heartbeat interval, the higher the network utilization. You need to consider the number of agents you'll have across the slow link, the bandwidth of the slow link, the heartbeat frequency, and the bandwidth that you want to allow for monitoring traffic, and then adjust the heartbeat frequency accordingly. There's one more MON capacity planning tool that I want to discuss. System Center Capacity Planner is a new addition to the Microsoft Management product family. Its key aim is to make performance planning an integral part of the enterprise management lifecycle. As part of the System Center suite of products, it integrates with Microsoft Operations Manager and Microsoft Exchange Server. It includes MON application sizing in far more detail than the spreadsheet demonstrated earlier, and goes into far more depth to ensure an effective MON implementation. It can help you in choosing appropriate hardware, deciding where to place servers, predicting device utilizations for a given load, and predicting event and alert latencies. This enables decreased total cost of ownership by making more efficient use of hardware, minimizes planning errors by using best practice templates, and provides increased confidence of meeting service level agreements. System Centre Capacity Planner is currently in public beta. We've come to the end of the content for this session, so let's look at a summary. Make sure that you use the MOM 2005 sizer worksheet to ensure that the MOM infrastructure that you deploy is appropriately specified. Use the steps detailed in this session to minimize alert latency and ensure that your monitoring remains effective. In low bandwidth scenarios, increase the heartbeat interval to increase the amount of bandwidth available to business applications. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/MGT-24 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Professional MOM 2005, SMS 2003, and Microsoft Update by Russ Kaufman, Randy Holloway, and Telmo Sampeo is soon to be released. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning, formerly Microsoft Training and Certification and Microsoft Press, develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, Microsoft Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals and teaches you how to support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The courses that best support this session are Managing Your Infrastructure using Microsoft Operations Manager 2005 and Implementing Microsoft Operations Manager 2000, which are available now. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and Visual Studio .NET. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, you can become a fully certified system administrator or system engineer or a desktop specialist. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products, For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, please welcome Holly Dias, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session.